Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, welcome to the show. The win streak, we may be seeing a new win streak as the 16-game streak came to an end Saturday night in Milwaukee against the Philadelphia 76ers. Those Sixers are in action right now, and we had the highest scoring game in the league in 45 years, something like that.
About a week ago. Early 80s, yeah. I'll look it up.
40-ish years. You remember who those teams were in the 80s?
I know the Pistons are one, and I don't
Spurs.
Know. Okay, Spurs. There you go.
But the recent one was the Clippers and Kings, right? It was 176-175.
Right, yeah.
We may be headed towards something pretty similar in Indianapolis. It's 118-116. Sixers lead the Pacers. The fourth quarter just started.
Yeah, 10 minutes left still.
118 points and 116 points for those two teams. So we'll keep an eye on that score. We will also keep an eye on what's going on in Cleveland. And I kind of mentioned Saturday night against the Sixers. If you are a, I don't want to say longtime Bucks fan, but if you've been a fan of the team for at least the last 10 years, you knew exactly what was going to happen in that game. And it's basically what happened. You kind of had a sense the Sixers are probably going to win because that's what Philadelphia does in this series. They win these games that are bigger for them than the Bucks in the regular season, and they hang the banners on it. They won on Christmas Day in 2019. I think the Bucks were 25-4 at the time, something like that. Philly won. Oh, here come the Sixers. And they won Saturday night, and it was kind of the same. Well, did we see some things in that game, in that one game out of 82 that, I don't know, should the Sixers be considered right up there with the Bucks and the Celtics? You knew what to expect. I mentioned that because what's going on in Cleveland, I think, is along those same lines, too. You knew what to expect there. You see the Celtics lose last night. Double overtime game. They lose to the Knicks. And again, the Knicks played without their best player, Jalen Brunson. And you think, man, game and a half lead. Oh, it gets better. The Celtics play tomorrow. And then you see the injury report. No Jason Tatum, no Al Horford. It gets even better. Celtics could lose. This lead could be two games. Not so fast. You just, again, yeah, this is a game that the Celtics are going to win. And right now, the Celtics are winning. They have led by double figures for most of this game. And really, the bigger conversation, larger conversation through all of this is my level of surprise with what we've seen from Cleveland. Small sample size, but what we've seen from Cleveland in this second half of the season, they have not been good. And they've had one of the easiest schedules in the league to close out this season here, and they continue to have one of the easier remaining schedules in all of basketball. But all of a sudden, you know, we entered the All-Star break not knowing how much time Giannis would miss, if Giannis would miss time. We assumed he would, but not knowing how long is this injury. How long is he going to be on the shelf for? Does that open the door for a team like Cleveland? They got one of the easier schedules in the league. Could they start to climb the standings and maybe the Bucks drop to third? The Cavs move up. Who knows? Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been a disaster post-All-Star break, and if they lose this game tonight to the Boston Celtics, who are playing without Jason Tatum and Al Horford in this one, if they lose this game, Cavs will be 40-27. The Knicks are 39-27. They go for their 10th straight win tomorrow night when they host the Charlotte Hornets. Pretty good chance they're going to win that. So tomorrow night, if this score holds, the New York Knicks could be up to fourth place in the Eastern Conference in this playoff picture. So it's going to continue to be very fluid here in the closing 5-6 weeks of the regular season. But the good news is you got a two-game lead in the loss column over the Boston Celtics. You're a game and a half up overall, but two games up in the loss column. And just as I say that, the Cavaliers are going on a run here. So maybe you'll be three up in the loss column after tonight's game. But again, we talked about this quite a bit after that game against the Sixers on Saturday, a little bit on Bucks Talk last night as well. I do think you've seen the Bucks really embracing the importance of getting that one seed. And I don't know. I know Zach Lowe had a story in his 10 things on Friday that, you know, the Bucks kind of regretted last year not getting up to that two spot. They had the second best record, the second to last day of the regular season. They lose in Cleveland to the Cavaliers. Celtics won six, or Celtics and Sixers were in the mix as well. But the Bucks losing that game to Cleveland became the three seed. And as Zach Lowe said, I think there was a lot of regret of, you know, in hindsight, maybe we should have got up to two. Not having Chris Middleton was a much bigger deal than not having home court advantage. But I think what you're seeing is, hey, let's play for the one seed. And it's not so much home court. It's what you saw Saturday night. The Bucks are a better team than the 76ers. But you could make a case 76ers might match up with the Bucks better than they do with the Celtics. Either way, you get the one seed, you don't have to worry about them. At least not until the conference finals. Now, that's assuming the New York Knicks eventually lose again, but it's still five games in the loss column separating the Knicks and the Sixers. So if you get that one seed, you let the Sixers and Celtics presumably play each other in the second round. You'd have to deal with maybe that red-hot New York Knicks team or the Cavaliers in the second round, but I would much rather that than I would face the Celtics or the Sixers and then the Celtics or the Sixers in your two consecutive series. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Weekly. We'll take a look at tomorrow's matchup in Orlando against the Magic. The first injury report is out, and it continues to be relatively good news. Well, very good news, I guess we should say, for the Bucks. We will get you up to speed on that. Take a look at the rest of the week as well, as you have one home game. And then this weekend, you begin one of two remaining Western Conference road trips. This is the biggest. As of right now, once you get past Thursday, this three games out west, those three teams are currently 3-4-5 in the Western Conference. So a big road trip. We'll preview that as well. But when we come back, time for Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. And this week, Gale Klompa's guest is Bucks assistant coach and a recent guest on the Thanalysis podcast, which, by the way, Tommy, we've done a pretty bad job of being your official Thanalysis post-game show.
It's pretty good.
Where we recap everything that said and happened on the latest edition of Thanalysis.
So they do a good job on that show.
Yeah, we got to do a better job of that. But this week's guest, you can hear him on the Thanalysis. And tonight you can hear him with Gale Klompa. Vin Baker is the guest on Courtside after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left. So the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klompa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klompa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the time of the season when every pass, every shot, every rebound takes on more meaning. The battle is on, and the Bucks are trending. They lost a tough one against Philly over the weekend, but since late January, their record is 17-1. Tonight, we'll visit with a veteran of the NBA wars. He was a four-time All-Star, now back in Milwaukee where his pro career began. Our guest is a key assistant on the coaching staff of the Bucks, Vin Baker. Vin, thanks so much for joining us here on Courtside. Really good to be with you.
No, thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
Well, Vin, we'll dive right in. The Bucks obviously had a gut check in Washington Sunday night, coming off a loss on the road, not much sleep.
But then 22 three-point makes seem to make the difference.
Yeah, it was a great bounce back game for us. You know, back to backs are not easy games in the NBA. Having played in the NBA and certainly coaching now, they can present their challenges with, especially when the game is on the road. The back to back is on the road, and then coming off such an emotional game against Philadelphia on Saturday night. Yesterday could have been even more. You know, we could have lost yesterday, so we're really happy to get that win. It's very hard to win in the NBA, and so we're very happy to come out with a W last night in Washington.
And then there was a moment right at the end of the game, which caught some folks' attention, where Giannis was dribbling out the clock, kind of took a half shot underneath the basket. Ball came back to him, and apparently that counted as a rebound, and he made a triple-double. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't actually see the play. I actually was listening to some of the coaches and some of the players talk about it as we walked back to the locker room. But, you know, for me, kind of cool. I mean, the big fella's accomplished everything in basketball, and I know what people may say or think about that, but, you know, it's still, the game is still fun for him. And I know that's maybe frowned upon by some people, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. It's a triple-double. And to have the best player in the world, in my humble opinion, kind of, you know, love and have joy for the game like that, I think it's kind of cool.
Well, Vin, as you well know, the rigor of the NBA schedule can really test a team's endurance. For the Bucks, after the Saturday loss at home, it was onto the airport. Tell us when the team finally got to the hotel in Washington, and how do you prepare the team for such a quick turnaround with another game in way less than 24 hours?
So, yeah, it's about rest. And I think what was interesting about getting to Washington, a little bit different than the normal routine of the NBA, the back-to-backs of travels. We have back-to-backs all the time, Gail. So I think what was interesting about getting to Washington, even though we got there late, the guys were chomping at the bit to get a win. I mean, we've won 16 games. We had won 16 games in a row, got to the hotel, and, you know, guys are ready to think about beating Washington and getting back on a winning streak. So it was your typical late NBA night, arriving at the hotel. We had the day off on Sunday, and guys are ready to focus. We've got the fun part about our group is, or the good part about our group is, we've got a lot of guys with corporate knowledge, been on the squad. They're veterans, seasoned veterans. They take care of their bodies, take care of their rest, their eating. And so by the time we got ready to leave for the game that night, last night, the guys were ready to go and get right back at it. So it was good for us. I think, and I think, to be perfectly honest with you, like, as much as we wanted this streak to continue, maybe a bit of relief. And now we can, you know, not think so much about the streak, but just about continuing to improve and continue to get better as the playoffs approach.
And Vin, you mentioned rest, load management purposes. So the Bucks, I know, have decided not to activate some key players in back-to-back games like the one against Washington on Sunday night. We were able to win without Chris Middleton. And so the Bucks, as we look at standings, still are at the top of the Eastern Conference with the slimmest of leads over the Boston Celtics. Your thoughts on where we stand?
Well, we're in a great spot, Gale. I think, you know, Giannis and Coach Bud talk about this all the time, is you want to be playing your best basketball as the playoffs approach. And, you know, think about, I was looking at this last night, like, we're a game and a half up over Boston. Like, when is the last time a team has won 16 straight and they've only been a half a game up on the team that was in second place? So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, parity in the Eastern Conference and throughout the league. We're playing really good basketball right now. And obviously Chris is being, you know, brought back into the lineup slowly. But again, the most important thing for us and for all the players that we have, and again, we have guys with corporate knowledge, even the guys, the new guys who we've brought in, Jay Crowder, he's been to the finals last 2 out of 4 years, Joe Ingles with Utah, and now Dragic. So we've got a lot of guys with veteran guys, and, you know, whatever lineup we put out there on the court, we feel like we have an opportunity to win. You know, with Drew, with Brooke, with Giannis, with Pat, with Javon, Grayson, Bobby, we've got a formidable, you know, roster. And so playing good basketball is the most important thing with us. Chris will work himself back in. He's a consummate pro with uber talent, and he knows exactly, you know, what we need from him. And so we're in a good spot right now, Gail. We're in a really good spot. We just got to continue as not to keep overstating it, but as Giannis says, we have to just continue to build good habits, and then we'll live with the results, you know, game to game, and certainly when the playoffs arrive.
We'll have more from Vin Baker in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gale Klappa with Bucks assistant coach Vin Baker.
Vin, you mentioned the new arrivals, and Bucks fans have seen the arrival of 3 new faces since the trade deadline: Jay Crowder, Myers Leonard, and now Goran Dragic. Give us, if you will, Vin, your take on what each of those players brings to the Bucks roster.
Well, Myers has been terrific since he's joined us the last couple weeks. I've had some really in-depth conversations with him about basketball, about life. He's been amazing. Like, he's been a voice on the sideline. You know, it's almost as if he's been here with us for years, like just talking. And anytime you get a player who comes and has a voice, a positive voice as far as the basketball and talking loud and like talking out our coverages, it's always a positive. So Myers has been terrific. Of course, Jay has been awesome. He's a leader as well. He's a voice. He's been to 2 out of the last 4 finals, as I mentioned. I'm thinking I'm accurate on that. And so Jay's one of those veterans that comes into a locker room and he commands or is he already respected because people know the teammates, know his teammates know what he's done. I mean, we just played against him 2 years ago in the finals. So he's been great from that standpoint. He's obviously still getting his basketball legs. He didn't really play basketball the entire year with Phoenix. And so he's slowly getting his legs. And he's been terrific for us. He's just been a natural fit in the locker room. And Goran, we just got about 2 to 3 days ago. I haven't seen him in shorts and sneakers yet, but I'm excited about him. Another great veteran who's been great with Miami. He literally terrorized the Bucks when he was with the Heat. He was absolutely, especially in the bubble. So we're excited to have him. I know he's got a lot left in the tank. I think it's a great opportunity for him. Most people who join this team, like a championship caliber team with championship aspirations, I think it usually does something for them to come into a situation like this. So I'm happy that Goran's here. But these 3 guys have been, they've made the transition rather seamlessly. And now they're going to, I believe that all 3 of them are going to have an opportunity to help us on the court. I'm actually excited to see Goran, and I'm excited to see Jay continue to get his basketball legs and do what he does, and do what he's done for Phoenix, do what he does has done for Miami. And I'm sure Myers is going to get an opportunity to help us as well. You know, Myers, you play a team like, if you hypothetically speaking, not to look down in the future, you play a team like Philadelphia, the 76ers, and you've got Embiid for 7 games or 6 games in 2 weeks. You certainly need big bodies who can play and defend. And Myers certainly does that, and he can stretch the floor and shoot the ball. So But we've got three guys that we think can help this team, and we're looking forward to seeing what they can do here in the next couple of weeks.
Vin, one of your coaching assignments is to work directly with the bigs, the 6'11 or 7-foot guys, the likes of Giannis and Brooke Lopez and Bobby. Tell our listeners about your relationship with Giannis and what you're working on with him day in and day out, if you will.
So I have a great relationship with Bobby, with Brooke, and with Giannis. And, you know, we talk about basketball, and certainly my piece of it is talking about the post play and offensively in particular, some of the things that I see on the court that they can do and take advantage of. So, you know, Giannis, I've been working with the last, I guess, 4 or 5 years. I've been to Greece 3 times. And so we have an understanding. We talk about his game. It's interesting because obviously my game is not the same as Giannis. Well, wasn't the same as Giannis's is, but there are things that I can see during the course of a game with double teams and things that happen to me in the post that I can help him with. And the same goes with Brooke and Bobby. I work closely with Brooke. Every day we talk about it. We discuss what he can do on the court and pick and rolls, certainly when he gets it in the post. And so we really have these intellectual conversations, I would say, about, you know, what we can do when we get the ball in the post, and certainly defensively as well. But I think the great part, the thing I love about working with Bobby, Brooke, and Giannis, is they're so willing to learn and listen. They're always coming in. Giannis, I share with you, sometimes I go to his basket and I'm in awe of Giannis, just like everyone else is. Like, I'm in awe. Like, we're watching one of one. I'm in awe of Brooke, a guy who's literally transformed his game from a back to the basket player to shooting to one of the best bigs in the league at stretching the floor. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in the NBA. And so sometimes I went to Giannis's basket the other day, and I'm just watching. And you know Giannis's humor. If you guys know, he's like a kid at heart. And he says to me, you know, stop coming over here and being a painting on the wall. I need you to coach me. I need you to tell me more. So it was really funny because I was just sitting there like enamored with it. Sometimes, just like anyone else, he's the Greek freak to me sometimes as well, too. And I'm just in awe. And he just walks up to me with, you know, and joking and in love. Just stop standing over there. I need you to teach me more. I need more. I need more. And I'm saying to myself, here's a 2-time MVP, finals MVP. The guy averages 31 and 15 and all these amazing numbers, and he wants to learn more. And Brooke is the same way. And Bobby's the same way. I get calls from Bobby. Bobby will say, you know, I want to work some tonight. He texted me the other day, or told me in the gym, I should say. He said, can we get in the gym later on tonight? And I said, sure, whatever. We can get in the gym, of course. And I said, what time do you want to do it? He said, well, there's a couple of games tonight. So let's kind of fit. And I said, wait, there's a West Coast game too. So are we doing like a Midnight Madness thing? But it's just amazing. I'm blessed to work with these three guys like closely because they're hard workers. They're consummate pros. They're students of the game. And I'm blessed that they asked me and have incorporated me to help them continue to improve on a daily basis. So it's just awesome to work with those three.
And Vin, with your help, Brooke Lopez simply has to be the top candidate for Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA.
Yeah, he has to be. I mean, Brooke is anchored the number one defense. At last I checked, the Bucks are the number one defense in the NBA, if not the top two, and Brooke really anchors our defense. And at his greatest, and I think we have the best two-way guard in the game of basketball, and we certainly believe that we have the best player on the planet. But I also we believe internally with the Bucks organization that we have the best defensive center in the game, and you know, without Brooke, a lot of our defensive schemes and a lot of the things that we like to do aren't as effective. I think a lot of people can see last year with him being out essentially the entire season, it really changed our defensive ratings. It changed a lot of our rim protection. And so with him back, we're just a whole different basketball team defensively. And so, yeah, he certainly has my vote defensively. And I will say this, Gale, I have to give all his defensive stuff is Brooke. Like, that wasn't not my forte. So all the stuff that he does defensively, he's just great at it. So he's just got impeccable timing. He's relentless. He's intimidating, and he's smart. And so we're fortunate to have him anchoring our defense at the number one defense in the league at this particular juncture.
And Vin, on top of all of that, he's over 7 feet and 280 pounds with a giant wingspan. As you say, incredible player. Lucky to have him. And we'll have more with Vin Baker right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
I didn't want to be gone this long. I just want you to call my phone. So stop playing, girl, and come on home. Baby girl, I didn't mean to shout.
Our thanks to Gale Klappa and Vin Baker for this week's discussion on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You can find that interview in its entirety wherever you get your podcast, along with this show, Bucks Weekly, and along with Bucks Talk. Each and every night after every Bucks game.
Wherever you get your podcast now.
I just said that, but thanks for paying attention. Yeah,
I was on the phone, sorry.
We have some good news. Well, we have some bad news. And we think we're going to have some good news in about 9 seconds. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's go out to the phone lines and check in with our old friend, Southside James. What's going on, James?
Well, yeah, we've been Bucks. Sorry to see us lose. End our streak in that, but we've got how do you say the word, let a few players go on that to other teams, and we've added players and everything else. How are we going to give everybody a chance to play and everything else to be able to they're all going to fit in, that nobody's getting bored, nobody feels that they're getting slighted or anything else? I mean, we got enough players right now. It seems that we're almost about two teams or possibility, if we keep adding players on here, it'll be three players deep here. How are we going to keep everybody satisfied and happy and be able to mix it in and everything else? I know we're going to get a couple injuries here or there between now and the end of the season, but how are we going to keep everybody happy?
James, are you a glass half empty or glass half full guy?
Well, hey, you know, I'm glad. I want to see us go all the way, you know. But the way things are, you know, I mean, we can't always be, you know, we always can't be happy, you know. I mean, you know, all of a sudden this guy gets a little, you know, whatever, or this guy whatever, or that minutes wise or anything else. But hey, we got a team that's on a roll. Hey, we're the best in the NBA right now. Hey, I'm for all this, plugging in these guys any which way we can. Hey, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thanks for the call, James. Winning is how you keep these guys happy. You can be happy all the time too. That's a pretty big misnomer. I've talked to you about this quite a bit, Tommy, because I think you're one that suffers from this. You can be happy all the time. You can choose to be happy.
Yeah, I'm a very happy guy, I think.
Okay. It must just be around me. Yeah, you can choose to be happy all the time, and winning usually makes you happy. Now, as we mentioned, you know, when they won the title, it's not that fans forget it wasn't a super deep team, because that was the year where everything kind of flipped and the Bucks reversed course and just said, we're upgrading the starters. And that's when you bring in Jrue Holiday. It cost you some pretty big bench pieces. We thought we were bringing in somebody else as well, he who shall not be named. That didn't happen, but nonetheless, you upgraded your starters, and your bench kind of suffered. So you knew, well, we're not quite as deep, and I think the frustrating part for Bucks fans that season was how we saw the goalposts continue to move. You know, when the Bucks won 60 games, and then the following year when at one point they were on pace to win 70 games, we touted their depth. And, man, this is a really deep team. And everybody was quick to point out, yeah, but depth doesn't matter in the playoffs. You know, you can only play 7, 8 guys, 9 at the absolute most. And as, you know, things started to progress, you saw that and you learned that lesson. So the Bucks went out and said, okay, if we can only play 5 at a time and, you know, we can only play 8 guys realistically in the postseason, let's upgrade our starters. And then the conversation became, well, yeah, it's a good starting 5, but this Bucks team just isn't very deep. It's easy to forget, though, just how little depth that team had. They were 7 deep. And even then, you had to pick and choose where you could play guys. The 2 guys you trusted to play off the bench were Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. And we saw in that Brooklyn Nets series, you couldn't play Bobby Portis at all times. We saw in the series against the Suns, it wasn't quite as much playing time either. So you were 7 deep, but you know, for most of the final 2.5 rounds, you were like 6.5 deep, 6 deep. The point is, the more guys you have, the better, because it gives you options and allows you to play differently. For as much criticism as Bud took 2 years ago of, why is this guy playing Jeff Teague? Well, he's playing Jeff Teague because of what we just said. You're 7 deep. You had 2 guys. Who else is going to play? When Drew Holiday's off the floor, and unfortunately you can't play him 48 minutes, when fouls pick up, who else is going to play in the backcourt? You're not going to have that problem this year, knock on wood, assuming you can stay healthy. And you know, Goran Dragic, I don't think there was a promise of we're going to play you here and you're going to get X amount of minutes. It's just nice to have that as a security blanket, a guy that, again, has played in a lot of postseason games, has reached the NBA Finals, has played in conference finals a couple of times, can score in the half court. He's a little bigger than Javon Carter, so just gives you yet another option. Good news and bad news. We'll tell you what it is after this on Bucks Weekly. I mentioned some good news and bad news for you, so I was going to ask which you would prefer. I have a guess which you would say. So which would you like me to start with, Tommy? And I'll tell you if I was right.
I'm a bad news guy first.
I knew it. Bad news is the 76ers won tonight. So Philadelphia, in a very, very tough road matchup with the Indiana Pacers, give up 143 points, but win the game 147 to 143. Joel Embiid with 42 points. In the win for the Sixers, our old friend P.J. Tucker didn't play. Didn't see him for the last, basically, entire second half in that Bucks game. And remains interesting to see what you get from P.J. on a nightly basis. But the 76ers won behind big games from Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. So Philadelphia, when we look at the Eastern Conference standings, is now just 4 games back of the Bucks. But here's where it gets interesting. The Philadelphia 76ers are 1 game back of the Boston Celtics in the loss column, because the Boston Celtics lost in overtime tonight to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So back-to-back days, they played double overtime, with some regulars playing very heavy minutes last night. And now tonight, you didn't have Jason Tatum. You didn't have Al Horford. You go to overtime and you lose the game. The ending to this game, or the ending to regulation, saw a ticky-tack call, putting Donovan Mitchell to the free throw line with 8 seconds left to tie the game. And then Peyton Pritchard drives the lane, misses a layup, but Grant Williams was fouled. Another ticky-tack call with 8-tenths of a second remaining. Score tied. Grant Williams missed both free throws after mouthing to Donovan Mitchell, "I'm going to make them both." And the Celtics lose in overtime. So, as of right now, the Bucks are 2 games in front of the Celtics, 4 games in front of the 76ers, but it's more important to look at the loss column. Because, again, you'll hear me reference games back in the loss column, because you can't make that up. Those are there. Can't take away losses. You can only add wins. Celtics already have three more losses than the Bucks do. So for all intents and purposes, you're three games in front of the Celtics right now and four in front of the 76ers. All of a sudden, that win Saturday night by Philly means the two seed is possible. The one seed is going to take a lot of work, but it's still not off the table. And at this moment, actually, I shouldn't say at this moment. This is not counting those two scores tonight. After last night's win in D.C., the Bucks have a 72% chance of getting that one seed in the Eastern Conference. And I would assume with the Celtics' loss, that number is going to be even greater in a couple of hours. My thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight to Gale Klompa and his conversation with Vin Baker. The Bucks in Orlando tomorrow night, 6 o'clock game, 5:30 is when our coverage begins. And as always, join us for Bucks Talk immediately afterwards. Talk to you tomorrow night.